Unrest in the Middle East. The economic crisis in Europe. Iran threatens Israel. The moral decay of America. What are the prophetic trends, and why is prophecy important? Stephen LeBlanc discusses these issues and the events surrounding the return of Jesus Christ. And now for World Watch Today, Stephen LeBlanc.
Monitoring the global fiscal landscape is very important because the beast power of the end time is a wealthy power. It dictates to nations because it is the hub of world commerce and trade. That's why I so often discuss Europe on this program. And I know most Americans know little about the rest of the world, that they have very little interest in what is going on in places such as Italy, Spain, Germany, Britain, Cyprus, and Greece. But let me remind you, the economic shift over the next years will move in such a way that Europe will become the fulcrum, the pivot point, as it were, of the world economy. Already, Europe, the European Union, is the world's single biggest trading structure, far greater than the United States or China. So in the future, we're going to see a revived Europe that becomes very powerful economically. And the Word of God tells us that Europe will ultimately become the great fiscal hand in the world. It will impose a mark upon thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people. This is called the mark of the beast. And those who don't submit to the beast's authority will not be able to buy and sell and trade. Now, the book of Revelation tells us that the final resurrection of the Roman Empire will encapsulate a religious, political, and economic structure. That this great economic system of Europe is actually eulogized in a funeral lamentation found specifically in Revelation chapter 18. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 18, beginning in verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Revelation 18 then tells us that the thrust of the lamentation focuses on the ability of the beast to trade with the nations of the world, that the merchants of the earth will have become rich through the trade promoted by this end-time Babylon, which is this European beast power. And remember, Europe fits well the description of end-time Babylon, with its assorted cluster of nations, languages, cultures, and peoples. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her when she falls, because their ability to trade their goods will suddenly come to an end. Christ will destroy this end-time Babylon. Now, the years ahead promise to be very volatile. The massive easing by the central banks of the world is something new. The outcome is unpredictable and fiscally dangerous. Now, let's take a look at this final European beast empire and evil empire. We'll take a look at more detail as depicted in the book of Daniel chapter 2, where this image has feet, an image with 10 toes. And I'm quoting from Daniel chapter 2, where it says, Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay, partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And the toes of the feet were partly of iron, partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. And you saw iron mixed with clay. And they will mingle with the seed of man, and they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. So this end-time beast entity will come together for a very short time. It's made up of various peoples and cultures. This is a perfect description of Europe. Notice that the various nations of Europe, with their different languages, cultures, and biases, depict a geopolitical Babylon. This description of clay and iron is apt, as Europe is known for its ethnic, national, and cultural diversity. Remember, researchers Pan and Fail counted 87 distinct peoples of Europe and recognized 23 official languages within that confederation. Now, there's going to be a future unified beast system, but this multicultural beast of the end time will struggle to survive. Cultural and ethnic differences will prove to be too complicated. Now, the 28 members of the European Union. Now, this is not making up the final configuration of the beast power. We know from prophecy in Revelation chapter 17, there will be 10 leaders who give their power. and authority to the beast. So something happens in the near future where the European Union reconfigures itself in some way or fashion. Now, European history is filled with war, bloodshed, demagoguery, religious conflict, and endless striving among the nations. That the patterns of history repeat themselves just before Christ returns. That's why we're watching Europe, and a particular country in Europe will be dominant. And that nation, of course, is Germany. Germany has an unparalleled track record of aggression and war. And Germany, by far and away, is the most economically powerful country in Europe, far more powerful than Russia or France or Britain or Spain or Italy. Let me talk a little bit about European history. You know, Europe has seen more wars than any other continent, than all the continents combined. And if you take a look at European war history, there have been well over 330 wars in Europe since the year 1400. That's a war every couple of years. But what we've seen over the past 60 to 70 years is strange. It's an anomaly because we've had relative peace, I say relative peace, on the continent of Europe. Now, I think this is just the calm before the storm that in the years ahead, and I can't place a date on this, I'm not predicting anything, but I know from prophecy, there's going to be this great European dictator. He will come on the world stage in the near future. I think many of you will witness this, and he's going to galvanize 10 leaders in Europe. They will give their power and authority to him. He will be a tyrant. Initially, he's going to seem to be an effective economic and political ruler. He's going to engage in some type of a treaty with Israel. It will be a counterfeit, a false treaty that he will eventually break. And we know from prophecy, from the book of Revelation chapter 17, that the Catholic Church will support this leader, this dictator. Now, I know what many of you are saying. This is not going to happen. We've learned from the lessons of the past. We've learned the great lesson from World War I and World War II, that the nations of Europe want peace. It is true the nations of Europe want peace. But you have to understand European history. The rhythm, the pattern, the very personality of the European nations is one of war. Now, currently, as I speak, Europe is not a great military power, but that can change very quickly. They have the technology. They have the ability. What they're lacking is a dictator to stimulate, to move the people in that direction. So will a crisis precipitate and open the door for a future dictator? That seems to be the most likely scenario. Now, this is why we watch the unemployment rates in Europe so very carefully, because when people are unemployed at high levels, and it goes on for months and years, they become very discouraged, but then they become very angry, then they become desperate, then they look for a powerful leader who gives all types of promises, an individual who can turn the economy around, who can present to them a type of economic miracle. And I need to emphasize, I can't put a date on when this dictator will come to power. It could be 5 years from now, 4 years, 11 years from now, 13 years from now. I don't know. But I do believe many of us will see this take place. And let me remind you, for some of you who may have not heard this program before, you have to appreciate that Europe today, even though it's sick economically, it is the great trading hub of the world. We do far more trade with European nations than we do with China or Japan. And Japan and China desperately need to export their goods to the European nations. So when I talk about the seriousness of the economic crisis in Europe, I'm not just pulling something out of thin air. If Europe goes into a severe recession, I mean, some of the nations already are in a depression in Europe, like Spain, Portugal, Greece, Cyprus. But if the other big nations of Europe, like Italy, stumbles into a depression, what's going to happen to world trade? We all suffer. Remember, we're talking about a global economy now. So what takes place in China affects the United States. What takes place in Europe affects Japan and America. It's a global network. We're all tied together whether we like it or not. It's one big neighborhood. Increasingly, what we're seeing in the European Union is disagreement. Because of the economic problems, many of the nations have had to rely on Germany for financial help. Germany is in pretty good shape financially and has had to help bail out these various nations that have enormous debt problems. However, Germany has said, if you want help from us, financial help, you have to follow our rules. Well, some of these nations have been following German rules. In turn, they have received German money, but now they resent Germany. They don't want to practice austerity, which Germany is saying needs to be done, and there's resentment. There could be a fracturing in the near future of the European Union. But out of that fracture, we could see, as I've used this expression before, a reconfiguration of certain nations that then build their relationship and their economies around Germany. And in turn, Germany would actually have more control over those nations that form an alliance with Germany. I'm speculating a bit here, but I think this is what's going to happen in the future. And it's not that Germany wants to dominate Europe. Germany was quite happy over the past few years to make money, to do well business-wise, to see a high standard of living in Germany, to export its goods around the world. But what happened is so many of these nations within this European complex started to have these huge economic problems, and Germany was the only nation in Europe who could help financially. Now, some say that Germany is a reluctant giant, and I think that's true. Now, let's talk about the United States. We believe America will soon experience an unparalleled time of war, financial ruin, and national suffering. Again, I can't tell you exactly when this will take place. I think you're going to see it in your lifetime. Why will this catastrophic punishment fall hard upon us? Well, the answer lies in our behavior as a people. God is enraged with our leaders, with our citizens, both secular and religious leaders. We have arrogantly disobeyed every one of the Ten Commandments. We treat the Bible with a casual irreverence. And the fact that our churches only sporadically teach some of the Ten Commandments, this simply adds to our disinterest in national repentance. We're not a nation interested in repentance. We're not a nation that's interested in the laws of God. Even some of our churches aren't interested in the laws of God. The average American spends an enormous amount of time on hobbies, watching television, being entertained, looking at sports events. Little time, even in Christian homes, is given to studying the Word of God or prayer. So as we distance ourselves from God, the consequences of our foolishness is easy to see. When God punished the nations of Israel and Judah, He used foreign powers, drought, famine, pestilence to chastise His people. We believe He's going to do the same thing to the United States in the very near future, and many of you don't even realize how serious this is. Now make sure to order our special broadcast on Europe, Europe in Prophecy. It's called Why Europe is Important. It's program number 70. We'll send it to you free of charge. You can reach us toll free at 1-877-449-6753. It's entitled Why Europe. It's program number 70. You can reach us toll free. The number is 1-877-449-6753. I'm pointing out to you the patterns of history, that prophecy becomes much more easy to understand if you can appreciate these patterns. Now, we place an enormous amount of emphasis in this program on Europe, because Europe is the seat of the great and destructive empire of old called the Roman Empire. And the Apostle John understood the beast in the book of Revelation to be a Roman system. As well, the connection here with Europe, the great emperors of the past were European emperors. Europe is a place where you find a multitude of cultures, languages, and conflicts. It's a type of modern-day Babylon. Europe is also the location of the great wars of recent history, World War I and World War II. In those two wars, we saw well over 75 million people die. Most of them were Europeans. Now let's talk about the present-day European Union. This European Union has been a long time in development. After World War II, the battered countries of Europe were determined, finally, that after two European-centered world wars in less than 30 years, that the nations of Europe would never again fight one another. Now, Germany and France in particular resolved to build a new and different Europe. As a matter of fact, speaking of France, after suffering in three wars with Germany in 75 years, France in particular was committed to a European Union in which Germany is contained by the other members of that union. Now, previous attempts at a European Union have always involved conquests of European peoples. Hitler and Napoleon are examples of this. Hitler and Napoleon conquered people in Europe against their will. So Europeans, having learned from the past, the nations of Europe say they are committed to a voluntary union, a potentially far more powerful alliance than those that preceded it. But has Europe really learned from the past? Now, this European Union today, made up of 27 member states, there is peace in Europe today. That's good. It will not remain that way. Now, the European beast power has yet to emerge in its final configuration. That union today is not the biblical definition of the beast. But eventually, Europe will reconfigure, and out of that union, that future union, will emerge a German-led stable of nations that will be very influential, both politically and economically. And then as they have the economic and political will and the power, this will enable them to build a massive military force. Now, as I speak, the nations of Europe aren't necessarily that interested in becoming a great military power. That's going to change. Right now, they're just trying to survive economically. Europe is suffering terribly in a recession that is far worse than what the United States has experienced. There are nations in Europe, such as Spain, that have an unemployment rate of at least 25%. And the youth unemployment rate in some of these nations is pressing toward 40 and 50% unemployment. That's among the youth. Biblical prophecy presages a far more ominous outcome of a future union among European states. So whether the euro or the European Union today survives in its current configuration is really not the issue here. Eventually, there will be a nucleus of 10 European leaders and nations that will be ruled by a charismatic dictator and a powerful religious leader at his side. And these two men will rule with an iron fist. Hundreds of millions eventually will die in massive wars that will take place. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 18, because in Revelation 18, the thrust of the lamentation is not for religious deception and other evils that this beast system will have perpetrated. Instead, we see that the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, because their ability to trade their wares will be amputated by end-time Babylon's fall. In other words, Jesus Christ brings destruction upon this European power. Now, those merchants will have become rich through the trade promoted by Babylon. Remember, Europe fits well the description of end-time Babylon, with its massive cluster of nations, languages, cultures, and peoples. And it's not only the merchants of the world that benefit, it's the shipping industry will have benefited from her trade. Notice what it says in Revelation chapter 18, beginning in verse 17. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off, cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like unto this great city?" And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness." So again, we're just pointing out to you that this final end-time beast power is going to wield enormous influence all over the world because it's the major trading center of the world economy. Now, nations, just as people, tend to have personalities. And the Germans are known to be direct, hardworking, and very careful when it comes to spending money. For example, they don't use credit cards anywhere near as often as Americans do. They have a knack for building incredibly sophisticated and effective machinery. They're very good at fixing things and making sophisticated engines. In the area of cars, Germany has led the pack with its dazzling array of auto brands, including BMW, Porsche, and Mercedes-Benz. The German company Siemens is one of the world's biggest engineering and electric companies, with over 500,000 employees worldwide, and the company specializes in lighting, medicine, transportation, and power. Its ultrasound technology innovations can be found in almost every American hospital. Siemens also makes the Valero, which is the most successful high-speed train in the world, with more than 160 trains operating in 4 countries on 2 continents. It's also worth pointing out that the Germans make the world's most sophisticated submarines that are nuclear-capable. These are the Dolphin submarines that have been sold to the Israeli Navy. Israel has 3 Dolphin-class submarines acquired from Germany currently in use, and a 4th was handed over to Israel about 6 months ago, but it's undergoing testing at this time. And I simply point out the ability of Germany to build very sophisticated, technologically advanced submarines. Even though Germany doesn't have a great, strong military at this time, that will change. I'm simply trying to bring to your attention that Germany has the sophisticated know-how and the technology to build advanced weaponry and nuclear-capable weaponry at that. In the future, there's going to be a German-dominated Europe that's going to attack the United States, and God is going to allow that to punish us for our national sins. There's a very disturbing prophecy in the book of Isaiah, chapter 10, which talks about the punishment of an ungodly nation. And it says, "Woe Assyria," which we believe is a reference to modern-day Germany, "the rod of my anger, the staff of my fury, against an ungodly nation I send him, and against the people of my wrath I command him to take spoil and to seize plunder and to tread them down like mire of the streets." We'll talk about the punishment of the United States in a future broadcast. I'm pointing out to you the patterns of history, that prophecy becomes much more easy to understand if you can appreciate these patterns. Now, we place an enormous amount of emphasis in this program on Europe, because Europe is the seat of the great and destructive empire of old called the Roman Empire. And the Apostle John understood the beast in the book of Revelation to be a Roman system. As well, the connection here with Europe, the great emperors of the past were European emperors. Europe is a place where you find a multitude of cultures, languages, and conflicts. It's a type of modern-day Babylon. Europe is also the location of the great wars of recent history, World War I and World War II. In those two wars, we saw well over 75 million people die. Most of them were Europeans. Now let's talk about the present-day European Union. This European Union has been a long time in development. After World War II, the battered countries of Europe were determined, finally, that after 2 European-centered world wars in less than 30 years, that the nations of Europe would never again fight one another. Now, Germany and France in particular resolved to build a new and different Europe. As a matter of fact, speaking of France, after suffering in 3 wars with Germany in 75 years, France in particular was committed to a European Union in which Germany is contained by the other members of that union. We're talking about a European dictator who's going to drag much of the world into a devastating world war. Europe is relatively peaceful, but in a few short years ahead of us, there's going to be a European tyrant. He's going to impress multiple millions of people. He will bring a short-lived sense of prosperity and security to the continent of Europe and to even much of the world. I don't know exactly when this is going to take place, but there's a very good chance it will take place in the near future. So this charismatic European dictator, he's going to sway millions. We see in this despot some similarities with the early success of Adolf Hitler. During the early years of the Great Depression, Adolf Hitler promised jobs. He promised protection from the communist threat. And also, he gave hope, and he encouraged a restoration of German pride. Germany in the late 1920s and the early 1930s was an angry, fearful, and depressed nation. Hitler represented strength, pride, and hope in employment. In the 1930s, he became hugely popular, not only in Germany, but also in other parts of Europe. But his rule turned into a nightmare that permanently scarred Germany, Europe, and the rest of the world. So we're talking about this end-time dictator who will eventually come on the world stage. Hitler is a prototype of this end-time tyrant who is called in the Bible the Beast. Now, the term the Beast can mean either a vicious political empire or its leader. Now, this tyrant who will soon appear on the world stage clothes himself in the mantle of greatness. His vanity is going to swell to delusional proportions. He's going to demand absolute obedience of his subjects, and he will eventually punish the United States. God will use him to correct us as a nation because of our national behavior, our decadence, our national sins. We talk about events in the Middle East, what's taking place between Iran and Israel. What's happening in Syria? How will that impact the Middle East? We also talk about the European economic crisis. We talk about the rising European beast power. And where does the United States fit into end-time events? All of these subjects are discussed in our Prophecy Bible Studies. We're holding these Prophecy Bible Studies in Sacramento, California, and also in Los Angeles, California. You can reach us toll-free, leave your name and address with us, or your telephone number. We'll make sure to get back to you regarding these Prophecy Bible Studies. That toll-free number is 1-877-449-6753. It's a toll-free call. The number is 1-877-449-6753. Again, this pertains to Prophecy Bible Studies being held in Sacramento, California, and also in Los Angeles, California. You've been listening to broadcast number 70. Broadcast number 70 will send today's message to you free of charge. I'm Stephen LeBlanc for World Watch Today.
World Watch Today has been a presentation of the Church of God. To request literature or free audio CD of today's message, phone us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. That number again is 1-877-449-6753. And don't forget to visit us on the web to view our latest blog on world news and prophecy. Our web address is worldwatchtoday.org. That's worldwatchtoday.org. Thanks for listening.